Amen, amen, amen. This is going to bring an end to something that got a hold of me about a week and a half ago temporarily, and then we're going to try to get on into learning more of the Word of God. But for the past week, we've been on truth and what is truth. Now, this is truth in a nutshell right here. I mean, if you grasp this, everything else will fall in order. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Faithful Sunday school teacher that I knew one time, of course it's a story now that's part of a book, but I'm sure it's happened to probably about every Sunday school teacher around. It's heard of it. Sunday school meetings someplace or another. It's a little bus-wrapped boy went home, and his mother asked him, said, what did you hear today? He said, well, the teacher taught that we were going to take an axe and 2 38s and run the devil out of town. I think that's a pretty good illustration of Acts the second chapter. You're talking about a devil fighter. You're talking about a demon chaser. You're talking about a hell stirrer. You're talking about something makes the devil mad. Preach Acts the second chapter and the 38th verse. He don't mind you preaching anything else, just stay off of that verse. And tonight, my subject is Acts the second chapter and the 38th verse. Ask God to anoint it, would you? Jesus, I want you to touch us, Lord. Hallelujah. And everybody said amen. You may be seated. I'm sure that you have heard this scripture before. And if you haven't, you need to hear it. And you need to hear it until you obey it. And if you have obeyed it, you need to memorize it. You need to know it backwards and forwards. You need to teach it. Because it is the national anthem. It is the Pledge of Allegiance. It is the most important scripture in the blessed old book called the Bible. It is the password to heaven. It is the shibboleth of the New Testament. Acts the second chapter and the 38th verse. You need to know it from the very first word to the very last word and be able to explain it. It is the greatest message that a preacher can preach on. It is the apex of what your ear might ever want to hear. Acts the second chapter and the 38th verse is and will always be the most perfect sermon that has ever been preached. There is no orator that can add to it. There is no exhorter that can make it any better. Acts the second chapter and the 38th verse is the greatest message that has ever been preached. The second chapter begins, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, I'm glad things happen around this church suddenly. If you ever get to where you know what's going on in this church, you've got more on the ball than this pastor. Because I am attempting every day to pastor a church that where we don't know what's going to happen next. We've got a program, yes, if God don't want to change our program. But if God wants to work, we're in a church where we allow Him to move suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house. Everybody say all. It didn't touch just the front row. It didn't touch just the middle rows. It touched from the very back wall to the very front wall. From the side walls, from center to circumference, it reached. And all, listen to this, were filled, and the house they were sitting in. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say all. I love that word. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Now I want to tell our visitors here tonight. We don't have a whole lot, but for those of you that may be visiting us, let me tell you. If this would shock you, the type of service we have had, you would not have enjoyed being in the upper room where Mary, the mother of Jesus, was assembled, where Matthew, Mark, John, Simon, Peter were assembled, when suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Because Acts the 2nd chapter, prior to the 38th verse, says, and Peter, standing up with the 11, had to make a proclamation because the people thought they were drunk. They thought they had gone completely crazy. They said, look, these men are drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, at 9 o'clock in the mornings when all this was taking place, they thought they had a bunch of sots on their hands that had been drinking all night long. And Peter, standing up with the 11, said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And let me tell you something. Some people say, I'm not interested in the Old Testament. I am. I am very interested in what the prophets had to say. I am very interested in what the preachers had to say of the Old Testament. And this Holy Ghost experience that I am so fortunate enough to be filled with, not only was it preached in the New Testament, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. For Joel picked up the telescope of time in a day when the gospel was just preached to the Jews. And he says, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. It won't be just for the Jews, but it will be for the white man, the black man, the brown man, the yellow man, the red man. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Acts the 2nd chapter, how beautiful it is. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you right now to our guests, you don't hear the message you're getting ready to hear preached. If God would allow me to stay anointed for the next 30 or so minutes, you won't hear the message that you're about to hear preached at just any old church you attend. To hear what you're about to hear, you're going to have to attend a church where the preacher preaches Acts 2:38. And for you to feel what you feel tonight, you're going to have to attend a church where the preacher preaches Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't sound like just a simple believism to me. Baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to take the Word, and we're going into it. And I hope before I'm through tonight, you can rightly divide the Word of God. But tonight, I can tell you, as a 7-year-old young man, I didn't know a lot about the Scriptures. But when the preacher got up and preached that there was something, just like I told Brother Henderson today when we were discussing a few things, it was so wonderful, it was so great. I was not concerned with whether I had to have the Holy Ghost at 7 years of age. People were just so happy. I saw my mother and daddy shouting in the Lord. I saw an experience that were changing other young people very close to my age. And I said, if it's making them so happy, and if it's as good as they say it is, I want it. Whether it is for you or not, I want the Holy Ghost. And at 7 years of age, I was privileged enough to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, evidence would speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. That's why I like the book of Acts just like it is. I'm so glad I am a preacher that don't have to preach the first 4 Gospels, then leave out a book and pick up with the epistles. But I am glad that I am a minister that can look into the book of Acts and can preach from any scripture that's in that book. You may ask, you why do you Pentecostals? Seem like that's all we hear out of you. Seem like that's all you teach your children is Acts the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse. I'm going to show you how powerful it is. First of all, why, Brother Mangan? I'm going to give you 4 powerful reasons. This is going to be a very simple message, something like a lawyer would present to a judge. I'm going to give you 4 reasons why I preach Acts 2:38. I preach Acts 2:38, first of all, because of the book that it is found in. This experience that you have seen and felt tonight is found in the blessed book called the Bible.
We believe, we, the First Pentecostal Church in Plano, considering ourselves the body of Christ, we believe the Bible from the opening of Genesis to the last amen of Revelation. We believe that this Bible is a life and death book. We believe every scripture that's in it. We'll take our scissors and cut out what we don't like. Even when it comes to what I preached about this morning, there are some few scriptures we would like to get away from, such as denying this flesh, such as taking up the cross and follow the law. There are some times when we have to bear some heavy burdens because this scripture says so. But you're in a church tonight that believes everything that this Bible has to say. I am not preaching to you tonight from the Watchtower literature. I am not preaching to you tonight from the Book of Mormons, where a man had a dream in an attic, Joseph Smith. And he came down and told them his dream. And they started a doctrine. I am not preaching to you out of a catechism book that has been handed down by the United Pentecostal Church. Acts the 2nd chapter is not found in a UPC manual as far as salvation is concerned. What I am preaching to you tonight is not coming from a man-made book. It's not coming from man-made schemes. But Acts the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse is found in the blessed Word of God. Brother, this book is greater than the Constitution of the United States of America. It is fantastic. This precious old book called the Bible. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, everybody say my word, shall never pass away. I want you to know you can stand on it. Those of you that's discouraged, those of you that's downspotted, those of you that want to know how to handle situations in your home, look into the Bible. It'll tell you how to have everything with your family. Husband and wife, it'll tell you how to control yourselves. It'll tell you how to control your family. It'll tell you how to have a happy home life. It'll tell you how to stay spiritually set. This book is your road map to heaven. I want to tell you, I love the Bible with every bit of strength in me. I cannot preach on how powerful this word is. I can never preach it strong enough. I can never preach it hard enough. That's why I like for people to bring the Word of God to church with them. That's why I like for them to take it everywhere they go. This word is powerful. You can doubt it, you can knock it, you can tear it up. They can take their Bibles and the atheists can burn them, but that still does not stop the potency and the power of the blessed Word of God. All you do is reject the physician and you keep the plague. If you don't want to turn to the Word of God, you overthrow the lighthouse, but you don't do away with the reef. You may wipe out the rainbow, but you're going to retain the storm. I want you to know the main reason why I preach Acts the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The reason why I preach that is because it is found in the Bible. Now, I preach Acts 2:38 because it is found in the Bible. But that's not the only reason I preach Acts 2:38. I preach Acts 2:38 to be essential for our salvation, because of its location in the Bible. There are 66 books in this blessed book called the Bible. There are 27 books in the New Testament, and there are 39 books in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The first 5 books are the books of law. The next 12 books come along, consist of the history of the nation of Israel. My Bible tells me that I'm preaching out of. It says, rightly divide the Word of God. When you look into the Word of God, you've got to know what you're going after. You've got to know how to rightly divide the Word. So the next 12 books are on history. There you will find the history of the nation of Israel. The next 5 books, the book of promise. There is a book of praise. There is a book of prayer, prophecy, and commandments. Those are the books of poetry. After the books of poetry come 17 books known as prophecy. There you will find the 5 major prophets, and you will find the 12 minor prophets. These are prophecies in these books. They deal with Israel as a particular time of their writings and also foretells events to take place in the years to come. After the books of prophecy, there was 400 years of silence that brought on the close to the Old Testament. Then we open up the New Testament. You find the first four books in the New Testament. Let's say them together. Everybody say the four Gospels. That is where and only where you will find the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection, the ascension of the greatest character that's ever resided on this planet, Jesus Christ. The first four Gospels of the Bible. Remember this, people, and you'll be able to explain Acts 2:38 when I get through preaching tonight. The first four Gospels only deal with the life of Jesus Christ. Then comes the book of Acts. After the book of Acts comes the book of Romans. The book of Romans through the book of Jude are letters. Everybody say letters. That's what an epistle is. It is letters written to saints. You can study the very first book of Romans, the 6th verse. It says to the saints that are in Rome. You can study the book of Corinthians. It will be to the saints that are at Corinth. The Gospels are for the life of Jesus Christ. But the epistles are to tell you how to stay saved. Nowhere in the Gospels, in the epistles, do you find the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is going to be given in the book of Acts. The epistles tell you how to live after you have been filled and after you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, if you want to read about holiness, don't go to the book of Acts. That tells you how to get saved. If you want to read about holiness, go to Romans. Go to 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Go to Galatians. Go to Ephesians. If I want to know how a preacher ought to act, I've got to go to 1st and 2nd Timothy. I've got to go to Titus. That's Paul writing saying, hey, preacher, that's the way you're supposed to act. That's the way you're supposed to behave yourself. He was writing to an individual when he was writing to Timothy. He was writing to a church in Rome that had already been filled with the Holy Ghost. And already been baptized in Jesus' name. That's why when somebody would take you to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans and tell you you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that's all you have to do, you can take them to the very first chapter of Romans and you can show them how the Lord allowed Paul to write to the church which was at Rome. The reason why he had to do that was because he was in prison. He was not privileged there to be free. So he heard of things that were happening. That's why you will find corrections in the epistle. If it was as if I were in Washington, D.C. in jail, and I was your pastor, and I heard there was something going on that was not supposed to be going on, I would write to the church in Plano, and I would tell you how to correct that situation. But you would not go to that book and find out how to be saved. You would go to that book to read on how to stay saved. But if you want to know, and I'm glad you're asking in your minds, I can see it all over your face, how you are to get saved, you've got to go to the fantastic, marvelous, powerful book of Acts. And it is in that book of Acts where you will find the perfect plan of salvation. And it happens to be the 38th verse. But if you want to know how to be baptized, don't go to the Gospels. Don't go to the epistles. Go to the book of Acts. I'm going to show you how this commandment came out of Matthew in just a few moments. And how the disciples followed what the Lord said in 28:19. There was no baptismal service at 28:19. The baptismal service took place in the book of Acts. So for you to find out if anybody was ever saved and how they were saved in this dispensation, you go to the book of Acts. Let's praise the Lord for it, shouldn't we? First of all, it says,
Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Then it tells you how. Everybody say how. In the name of Jesus Christ. Then it tells you what for. The remission of your sins. Then it tells you what's going to happen. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Why I preach it so strong is, friend, it tells you everything right there. It tells you how to do it. It tells you why you're doing it. Then it tells you after you've done it what to expect. And it's not found in one full book. It's found in one simple verse. Acts the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse will tell you when, how, where, and what to expect. It is a powerful verse of Scripture. I hope when I get through preaching tonight, this church loves that Scripture. I hope you go around quoting it all day tomorrow. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is our preamble. That is our pledge of allegiance. If this church will love that Scripture, and if you, sinner friend, will open your eyes to that Scripture, I promise you there's not a false prophet, there's not a false person, there's not a false religion that can back you in the corner if you can handle Acts 2:38. Oh, and they say, what about John 3:5? I love that. The Bible says, except he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. But you notice very, very closely, he did not tell Nicodemus how to be born again. He said it's got to be of water and Spirit, but he never told him how to receive the Spirit. He never told him how to be baptized in water. That was just a commandment of what was going to happen. He allowed that to the disciples later on in the book of Acts. I preach it because it's found in the Bible. I preach Acts 2:38 because of its location in the Bible. And I got preacher religion tonight. You know that? Somebody said you shouldn't have preacher religion. I got it. I preach Acts 2:38 because Simon Peter, my preacher, preached Acts 2:38. I'm hung up on him too. Now I love Paul. Don't let me be none of you Paulites out there. I love Paul. He could become all things to all men that he might win some. He was terrific. Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. He was some kind of fantastic individual. Man, you can read his life story. He was a gifted man. But if it came to choosing between Paul and Peter, I'd have to take Simon Peter. You said, what? Because he told me how to be saved. Jesus looked at his disciples one day. He said, whom do men say that I am? Some said, oh, you look like Elijah to me. And another said, no, you look like Jeremiah. Some said, well, they say you this, you say you that. But he said, whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood didn't give you that revelation. But my Father gave you that revelation upon this rock. Not on you, Simon Peter, but on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But that's not all, Simon. Here you go, boy. I'm giving you something. It's the keys. See, that's why he's my preacher. Because he had the keys. He had the authority to preach what he preached. He said, Simon Peter, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Now, it doesn't take a smart man to figure that out. Simon Peter, whatever you preach, I'm going to stand behind it on earth, and I'm going to stand behind it in heaven. I want you to know not only do I love Simon Peter, I love my Father. Because not even my Father, but I love him because he is my pastor. Anybody that'll preach you the truth, and whoever it was, whether it's Brother Adcock or whether it was Brother Manger, whoever it was, that preached you the truth tonight and didn't pull any punches and told you the perfect plan of salvation, and you made your way to an altar, friend, you better love that man that'll tell you how to be saved. We've got preachers today, you don't know what they believe. They change with every wind of doctrine that comes along. They're shaken by every little wind that comes. They'll
set about to compromise to keep their congregations together. They don't want to preach anything that is shaky. You'd better thank God in Plano you've got a preacher that'll preach you the gospel and that will preach the truth and doesn't try to hide it behind $5 vocabulary words, but will tell your sinner friends. Somebody said, well, I hope Brother Mangan don't run them off. Where are you going to run them off to? They're already lost and going to hell. You can't run them to hell number two or hell number three. They're already going to the first hell. That's the only one there is. Preach it to them, brother. Preach it. Oh, God. That's what I was telling another individual we were discussing with today about being. He said, I'm so contentious with this gospel. He said, when I get with people, I want to tell it so fast. And I told him that you've got to do it with love. But if I had my choice, I would rather be contentious about this. I love it so much. I want to get this gospel across. Hey, said a friend, it's for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. The way to be baptized is in Jesus' name. And it was Simon Peter, the man with the keys to the kingdom of God. The Bible says, and Peter, standing up with the 11, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you know any lawyer would love? He would love to represent the Pentecostals. He's got more scripture and more foundation for Jesus' name, baptism of the Holy Ghost, than all other scriptures put together of any kind of doctrine anybody wants to establish. If I had time tonight, and we're doing that in our Bible study, so I'm not going to take time. But if I had time tonight, I could take you through scriptures that show you what Simon Peter preached was exactly what the Lord. Simon Peter didn't make that up. But you know, a lot of people will say, I would rather take Matthew's words, or I would rather take Jesus' words in Matthew 28:19 than I would Simon Peter's word. I would like for you, if you would please, to read the 16th verse of the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew. You will find that Jesus took with Him the 11 disciples into a mountain to pray. And it was there that He told just 11 disciples. He was not preaching to the multitude. He was not preaching to the masses. He was simply preaching to His 11 disciples. Read it in the 16th verse of 28th chapter. He said to them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What did those disciples do? They left there and did exactly what the Lord commanded them to do. If you will read the 14th verse of the second chapter of the book of Acts, before you get to the 38th verse, you will find Peter standing up with the 11. If Simon Peter was so wrong in Acts, the second chapter, and if he was preaching a doctrine that was not what the Lord had taught him to preach, why didn't Matthew stop him? Why didn't Matthew say, hold it? The Bible says, and Peter, standing up with the 11. That means Matthew was standing back there on the stump somewhere saying, Simon, preach it. I'm behind every word you say. I hope you would rather take Matthew's words. Matthew said, amen, everything Simon Peter preaches when he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Simon Peter's my preacher. I'm sorry, I'm just hung up on you. Yes, forgive me. He's my preacher. He's got the keys. But now let's go a little further into this Jesus name, baptism. Some people says it doesn't matter. Well, let's just study. I would like for anybody in this congregation to show me for anybody after Calvary was baptized any other way except in the name of Jesus Christ. I would like for anybody in this congregation, if you do, you have a brand new automobile sitting out back. You can have the keys to it and drive it off. If you can show me where the baptizer ever used titles over any individual when he immersed them, sprinkled them, or did anything. If you can show me where they ever used titles. The baptizer said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you can show me one place in the Bible where that happened, you've got you a 78 Regency that's muddy and filthy and got a whole lot of miles on it. But it's yours. But you know the problem? Why I know it's not in there. But I wish you'd ask me the same question. You just ask me if I can show you where the baptizer ever said in the name of Jesus. I can take you to Acts the 2nd. I can take you to Acts the 8th. I can take you to Acts the 10th. And I can take you to Acts the 19th. I can take you to four accounts where the baptizer said in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I just don't like Simon Peter. I just can't. I'm just going to stick with Jesus' words. Well, you're really slapping God upside the head right now. Now, you're taking a swing at Him that He doesn't deserve. Because the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, this is so important that you listen right now. The 10th chapter of the book of Acts was Cornelius' household. And here was Simon Peter up on the rooftop trying to catch him a nap. And here God appears to him and starts showing him these things that were unclean, coming down by a sheet. And he said, "Hey, Lord, I can't eat unclean things." And what it was the Lord was getting Simon Peter ready to go to the Gentiles. And while he was seeing these visions, Cornelius was getting a servant ready to go to looking for a man that would preach him the truth. Now, follow me closely. If Simon Peter was so wrong in Acts the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse, why was God so dumb to send him to Cornelius' household in the 10th chapter if he made such a mistake in the 2nd chapter? You're insinuating that God is dumb. Simon Peter made a terrible mistake. Hey, a 3,000 soul mistake in one day is a pretty big mistake. If Simon Peter was wrong, you heard that doctors bury their mistakes. 3,000 souls were damned to hell. They were buried. They're in the second death now. If Simon Peter was wrong, why would the Lord send them back in the 10th chapter if Simon Peter was so wrong in the 2nd chapter? I'll tell you why He sent him back in the 10th chapter, because he wasn't wrong. Simon Peter knew what the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was. His name is Jesus! Oh, friend, I wish you could see it tonight. I wish some of you would hear before you left here tonight, say, "Brother Mangan, I'm a member of another church, but I see what you've preached tonight. I see what the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. And I want to be baptized in that name. Before I leave this place tonight, I want to be buried with Him. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the titles? That's not what it says. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. And if I did believe in a triune God system, or if I did believe in a Trinitarian system, I would still want the name of the second person's identity upon my life, because it was His blood that was shed. But I'm so glad that I can preach it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead, and it's all in Him. And His name is Jesus. I don't know where my time goes on Sunday night, but I must rush along. I preach it because it is in the Bible. I preach it because of its location in the Bible. And I preach it because Simon Peter, the man with the kingdom of God, preached it. And last but not least, I preach it because of what it does. Everybody that's been delivered from some type of sin, I mean a deep sin, habits, forms that had you bound, I want you to stand right now and praise the Lord, would you? I can't praise Him. Look around, people. Look around, people. Look around. I preach Acts 2:38 because of what it does. It's got the power to deliver. I was preaching revival one time, and the lightning got to strike, and the thunder got to roll, and the rains got to descend on the outside. No, it was a shaky revival. And it was a fall on the inside. And about that time, shram, pow! Now all of our lights went out. And here we were, and the preacher sitting up on the, I was sitting on the platform. He was at the pulpit, and he said, "I just happen to have a flashlight, Brother Mangan, back in my office." He said, "Go get it." Went back and got the flashlight. "You talking about some wildfire? Here we go." But he said, "Everybody that came here tonight to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to stand." And brother, it was pitch dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of you. And about that time, everybody, you could hear people shuffling around and people moving. And I said, "Well, I know there's one up. At least I heard somebody move. And surely wouldn't be nobody moving around here unless it's getting up. It's spooky. It was scary in there. I mean, the Holy Ghost was spooking everything up. I just knew somebody was going to scream, start shouting any minute, and fall over somebody.
And about that time he said, when this light hits your face, you're going to start talking in tongues. And brother, it was Brother Phillips. He took that light and took off. And about that time, that light ray caught a big old blonde-haired, blonde-beard boy in a dirty, filthy T-shirt in Bermuda shorts. And he was standing there with tears rolling down his cheek. And he was saying, God, forgive me. And when Brother Phillips hit him with them ever-ready batteries, God hit him with everything in heaven, brother. And he began to speak a heavenly language as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. I mean, a few minutes later, the lights came on and we baptized him in Jesus' name. That was the beginning of the greatest revival that I ever had the privilege of preaching. He came back Sunday night. He had a long-haired, weird-looking dude with him. His eyes were that little. And he had a beard and hair. He looked like an ape. And he walked in looking like he was ready to devour anything that stepped in his way. And brother, nobody ever got to preach. They lined up and started coming. Denny had them lined up. They started coming down that aisle to an altar. God started baptizing them with the Holy Ghost. They were in Bermuda shorts. They were in, the girls were walking down in blue jeans and T-shirts. And it was a beating this mess. The altar started filling up and people started getting the Holy Ghost. Hey, one of them just ran, jumped, got in the baptistry. So Brother Phillips followed him right on in the baptistry and baptized him in Jesus' name. That boy came back. He came back. He came back. He came back. He came back. By the end of that revival, he was solidified. He now pastors 5 Pentecostal churches in New York City that he has started all by himself. And it started from somebody who had a little bit of faith with a flashlight. But Acts 2:38, that's what it'll do for you. It gets dope addicts. Just a few nights before he came, he just about died from an overdose. His wife, Regina, had hitchhiked all over America and sold her body to do that. And now she's a pastor's wife up there in a church proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Christianity alone didn't do that. Religion alone didn't do that. Signing a card didn't do that. Shaking a preacher's hand didn't do that. A vote of a congregation didn't do that. It was the power of the name and the power of the Holy Ghost.
Thank God, thank God. I told this church about R.D. Telosky. That was in the revival. He was a crazy boy. His daddy owns half of Temple, Texas. And R.D. Telosky was a young man that was at the University of Texas, got messed up with the wrong kind of dope, and it blew his mind. He was in a padded cell with a football helmet on, trying to beat his brains out on the floor of that cell. And friend, he came one time to a Pentecostal service after they got the right medicine to control him. And I mean, he hit that altar and began to repent of his sins, baptized him in Jesus' name. He is now one of the most fantastic saints in the church down there that there has ever been. God healed his brain. God touched his entire body. God has given him a beautiful family. And they have united to support the ministry and to proclaim this gospel all over the world. And it happened because of Acts 2:38. That's why I love it. And people in this church that have come, people that's walked down this aisle that's had diseases and has been set free. People that has come down this aisle that were bound by habits and those habits have been broken. That's why I love Acts, the 2nd chapter and the 38th verse. I don't love it just because it's in the Bible. I don't love it just because of its location. I don't love it just because Simon Peter preached it. I love it because it can change you. It can change you. It can change you. It can change you. We had harvest time in Alexandria on the airways there, and Brother Urshan would preach, and there was a young man by the name of Tom Gates. He was the disc jockey there in Alexandria. And Tom Gates, he hated Pentecostals. And I use that word nicely, if you can ever use it nicely. He just hated Pentecostals. I mean, when harvest time would go off, he'd just shut it off and start rambling on about something else. And a couple of times, he took some awfully strong cuts at our church. I mean, some strong cuts. And he proclaimed himself to be an atheist. And he said, I'll never be that, and I don't want anything to do with it. He weighed about 325 pounds. I'm sure Brother Greg Bennett and Brother Sam and Sister Paula will remember this particular night. He came, it was about a year before I came to Plano. He decided he was going to come to church one night. He had been promising and promising. People had been working on him. And he finally said, yeah, I'll come to church. But he said, I'm an atheist, and I want you and I want that preacher to know I'm an atheist.
He came to church, and I saw him back there. You know, when people get around Pentecost, it just, something happens. That's what I love about it. It just gets all over you. And they don't want to clap their hands, but they can't help but clap their hands. They don't want to stomp their feet, but they can't help but stomp their feet. Something just gets in you, and before you know it, you give it, and they'll catch themselves and fold their arm back, straighten their tie, and then about that time when nobody's looking, they'll get back into it. So I was watching Tom Gates, the big atheist, standing back there, fiddling with his glasses, trying to act mean, double over, had his arms resting out somewhere out there, about 300-something pounds worth. He was resting on his desk, and he was looking out from under his glasses just as mean as he could look. And the choir began to sing, and oh, the power of God began to fall. And I began to walk the aisle, and I went back to him. And I threw my arms around him, and I said, Tom, I said, it's time for you to give your heart to God. And I don't know whether he's going to say, I'm an atheist, preacher. I don't believe in God. But about that time, and man, it started just shaking all over. I warned it. I've failed it ever since I got here. We walked him down the aisle before he ever got to the front. He was repenting of his sins, saying, God, forgive me for being so negative. God, forgive me for not believing in you. I have felt it. And God baptized him with the Holy Ghost. And he liked to drown me in the baptistry as I put him under the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of all of his sins. That's why I love Acts 2:38. I love Acts 2:38 because when I was came back from Bible school and thought I was going to go to airline, I went to enrolled at a secular college, Louisiana College. It's a Baptist college over there, but it is where you can get your degree, and I was attending there. And I was planning on going there a semester, then moving to Atlanta and moving to apartment, start flying for Delta Airlines after a year of training. So I was attending that school, and the theologians there knew who I was. And so every time we would go to our class, I would get a good lesson on why the Holy Ghost is not for you today and why you don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And this old boy right beside me, he was about 35 years old. He ribbed me to death. He pastored, all these that I name will remember him again, he pastored Twin Bridge Road Baptist Church. And oh, he would get on my case. So, see, man, and I told you, boy, you didn't have to have that, man. You didn't have to do all this. He said, I told you. And he ribbed me. So one day, Brother Bates came by. And I was out in the front yard mowing the yard, one of the few times I mowed the yard. And he came by. He said, listen, he said, I want you to come preach me a revival. I said, man, preach you a revival. I said, I've never preached in my life. He said, well, I had a youth revival schedule, and the minister, as Brother Barnes would say, counseled out on me, and he couldn't make it, so I'm going to ask you to preach. I said, Brother Bates, I have never preached a sermon in my life. I said, Winfield, you got a good little church going. I said, I bet you better get somebody. He said, I've already got it in my head. What I'm going to announce, what I'm going to do, you're going to preach. He said, you come go Tuesday through Sunday night. So I went to preach my first night on Tuesday night. I shook all the way up there. I couldn't eat nothing for days. I couldn't, and I wasn't fasting. I was nervous. And I walked that pulpit, Brother Cox, with about 18 pages of notes, and I went through them in 10 minutes. But when I got through, I gave the altar call, and people started coming to the altar, and their lives started being touched, and their lives started being changed. And so because of that revival, we ended up going 3 weeks, and we had 33 people baptized in Jesus' name. We got an entire state championship girls basketball team. They were supposed to, the year before that, they were the state champs. They were already going to the Sweet 16 tournament in Alexandria. We prayed them through, and all of them quit the team, started coming to church the week before the finals. It was just fantastic. It was what you call a revival. So I went home, and when I got home, the phone rang. Closed revival on Sunday night. The phone rang on Monday. It's Brother Billy White, man in Louisiana. He said, I heard you had a great revival in Winfield 3 weeks. I said, yeah, we struggled through it. He said, well, I want you to start Wednesday night with me. I said, really? I said, well, I enjoyed those 3 weeks. He said, okay, we'll start Wednesday night. I went Wednesday night. We started in Manning. God blessed, and the Holy Ghost fell. And we went a couple of weeks there, and people got the Holy Ghost. So I closed there and went home. Phone rang. It was Brother Nation Nackley. He said, hey, heard you had a great revival, man. Yeah, it went pretty good. Well, why don't you come to Nackley and preach us revival. And that's how it all began. So when Brother Barnes called from Minden, my fourth revival, I went home. I said, now, Dad, I can't go. Either I'm going to have to go to school or I'm going to have to preach. It's time that we get this situation worked out. Either I'm going to preach or either I'm going to go to school. He said, well, you make the choice. I said, I'm going to preach. And so I went and I told my teachers goodbye, and I told Pastor Roy goodbye, and I said, I'll see you later. He said, yeah, we taught you a lot around here. I said, yeah, you taught me a whole lot. I'm going to preach everything I know, but it's not what you taught me. In about a year, was it? I guess maybe Brother Bennett can remember, or Brother Sammy. Maybe about a year before I came to Plano, the Holy Ghost came walking in. And you heard about Horseshoe, but you ain't never heard about this one. The Holy Ghost came walking in the back door of Pastor Roy's church, and it got a hold of one of his main members, and it started shaking them, and they started talking in tongues. And this is what Pastor Roy was telling me was not for you. And his main person, Brother Whit, was talking in tongues. And so he began to study. He said, that man's not a fanatic. That man's not a Manganite. That man's not crazy. He didn't go to that church over there. So he's a sane man. And Roy started studying it. He came back on Wednesday night and got in his office. And while he was in his office, he started talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. He got up and preached it. They got the word to the convention that he's a member of. They kicked him out. He came to my dad, and my dad put him in the baptistry and baptized Pastor Roy in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. He now pastors a United Pentecostal church in Topeka, Kansas. Isn't that great? What did that? Acts 2:38. It will change your life. I'm telling you, it can make you a better Baptist. It will make you a better Episcopalian. It'll make you a better Catholic. Somebody said, what are you? We're all those put together. We believe in separation of church. We're Methodists. We believe in holiness. We're Baptists. We believe in baptism by immersion. Everything your church was founded on, we believe in it. Now you become a Pentecostal and believe it in Jesus' name and then filling with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you'll have the full reformation of the book of Acts. Let's sing and worship God as we say it tonight.
It's for me.